fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Connolly, glad to be with you again in this first weekend of Advent. Even though we started, I guess, last weekend, this is the first full weekend of Advent. As I've said many times, it is my favorite season of the liturgical year. And it's partially because of the great number of some really great saints that we celebrate throughout this great season of Advent. Most particularly, and I hope I don't have to remind any of you this, the day after, if you're listening on Sunday, I hope you remember to go to Mass yesterday for the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. And I thought I would start by saying, by giving you a little bit of a pop quiz. And why a pop quiz? Well, because I'm the type of guy who, all right, I admit it, I like to show off a little bit about what I know. I know some really random and pretty, in some cases, pretty useless stuff. But this isn't necessarily useless stuff, right, when it comes to the faith. And I thought, well, there might just be some families out there who are driving somewhere, and as they're listening to the program, and there's one of the people in the car is just like me and likes to show off a little bit. I don't mean to be feeding your pride or your vanity, but thought you might like to see just how much you know about the Immaculate Conception, all right? So here we go. Question number one about the Immaculate Conception is, the Immaculate Conception refers to what event in history? All right, so you've probably heard this 1,000 times if you've been listening to Relevant Radio over the course of the past week or so. But just a reminder that the Immaculate Conception does not refer to the conception of Jesus in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but rather the conception of Mary in the womb of her mother, Anna, and which came about in the natural way, not by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we talk about in terms of the conception of Jesus, but it was done without the stain of original sin. So it was the conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary in her mother's womb, but done without the stain of original sin. Okay, question number two, and these get, I hope, progressively harder as well. The dogma of the Immaculate Conception was promulgated in what year? All right, for those of you who came up with 1854, you are correct. 1854, it was promulgated and made infallibly declared by the Pope at that time, and that's question number three. What Pope declared the dogma of the Immaculate Conception infallibly in 1854? That was Pope Pius IX, for those of you who are following. Blessed Pope Pius IX, he was beatified in 2000 by St. John Paul II, and Pope Pius IX was the longest sitting elected pope in history. He served as pope for over 31 years, and he also convened the first Vatican Council. All right, question number four. All right, what document did Pope Pius IX declare the dogma of the Immaculate Conception? In what document? The answer is Ineffabilis Deus, Ineffable God. So you can look that up online and have a look at it if you want to read through the declaration of the Immaculate Conception as dogma. And a couple more questions. Question number five is, so the Immaculate Conception, as you may well know, the Mary conceived without sin, is the patroness of the United States as well as many other countries. When did she become patroness of the United States? Well, there's a few dates involved in this one, but the United States bishops unanimously chose the Blessed Virgin Mary conceived without sin as the patroness of the United States on May the 13th, 1846. Now, wait a minute. Think about this. The dogma itself was not declared until 1854, not declared infallibly by the Pope. And then she was chosen, though, as the patroness in 1846. Well, if my math is right, that's about 8 years prior to the declaration of the dogma. And just something, just so we all are aware, that when the Pope, when the Magisterium declares something as infallible dogma of the Catholic Church, it's oftentimes in response to either some confusion on the issue, as was, say, the divinity of Christ way back in the 4th century with the Council of Nicaea, or just saying something that there is already, this has been held by the faithful for years, decades, centuries, millennia, which was the case in the Immaculate Conception, that it was thought of as just, it was thought just to be, it was just believed, period, that she was conceived without sin for many, many years, decades, centuries before that. And then it was just declared infallibly by the Pope. So there was no actual surprise amongst most of the faithful that Mary was indeed conceived without sin. The other dates that are associated with that, with her becoming the patroness of the United States, it was approved by Pope Pius IX on February 7th of 1847, and it was published in a decree on July the 2nd, 1847. All right, one final question about the Immaculate Conception. I hope you know that it's a holy day of obligation. Do you have to go to Mass twice this weekend? The answer is, and I'm getting a lot of nods from my guests around the studio, the answer is yes. Yes, you need to go to Mass. No. Actually, yes, I should say the answer is no, because you get to go to Mass twice this weekend, right? Once on Saturday, once on Sunday. Go on Friday night. That still counts for the Immaculate Conception, right? But go to Mass twice. It is one of those solemnities, especially as she is the patroness of our great United States, that is moved, or that's not moved. It's never moved to Sunday, even when it occurs on a Saturday or Monday. The obligation is not transferred to the nearest Sunday. So look at it this way. If you have trouble kind of conceiving about how, no pun intended, conceiving about how that might be the case, well, look at it this way. Say you had a five-year-old child or grandchild at home, and, say his birthday was coming up, and maybe you have a family tradition of every Sunday you'd have ice cream, right? But his birthday fell on a Saturday. And what if you just looked at little Petey and said, you know, Petey, since it's your birthday on Saturday, but that's so close to Sunday, we're not going to do anything special for your birthday on Saturday. We're just going to have our ice cream as normal on Sunday. Is that all right? I don't think that would fly with Petey. So we honor Petey because it's his birthday on Saturday. Much the same, we honor our Blessed Mother on Saturday, December 8th, as Mary conceived without sin, patroness of our nation and our Blessed Mother indeed. And then Sunday, we honor the resurrection of our Lord in the second Sunday of Advent. All right, so that's the end of my pop quiz. Hope you did well, and hope that there might be something that drew you closer to the Lord through all of that. And I guess maybe that's a good seventh and final question is, what difference does all of this make? Take some time to reflect about what difference the Immaculate Conception of Mary makes in your own life and in your own walk of faith and in your own relationship with the Lord. All right, coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we've got a true variety show again. It's our Great Catholic Parish Show. We're going to be talking about family formation and specifically Alive in Christ that's going on up at St. Odilia in Shoreview. Father Michael Daly and Brenda McLennan are going to join us to talk about that. Also, we're going to have a personal witness segment, a story of conversion to the Lord and His church. David Caron is in studio to talk with us about that. And since it's December 7th, we're also going to be talking a little bit about Pearl Harbor Day and having Father John Eckert with us to talk and give some stories. And then near the end of the show, as part of our calendar of events, we're going to hear from Jeff Cavins about an upcoming Men's Bible Boot Camp. So we've got a lot of things going on. I think it's a good idea for us to pause here at the beginning of the show and offer it, as always, to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are off into our first break. When we come back, Alive in Christ at St. Odilia's with Father Michael Daly and Brenda McLennan. Stay with us.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer. A Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3% with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%. Better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Come with your light and fill up my heart. Oh, great light of the world, fill up my soul.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. We are often running into this true variety show today, speaking about family formation and a family formation model called Alive in Christ that's going on up at St. Odelia Catholic Community in Shoreview. And to speak with us about that, we have Father Michael Daly, who is in studio with us. He's the parochial vicar at St. Odelia's in Shoreview. And he's also the Latino and Young Adult Assistant, Latino Vocations and Young Adult Assistant for the Archdiocesan Latino Ministry. I'll get it out eventually here. I need more coffee, obviously, is what's going on. We also have Brenda McLennan, who is the Director of Youth Formation and Evangelization at the Catholic Community of St. Odelia. She and her husband are married and have 5 adult children and have 9 grandchildren. Wow, and that keeps her busy when she's not in the parish. So welcome, Father. Welcome, Brenda.
Thank you, Patrick. Good morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you with us. Good morning to you. Okay, so take us into, first of all, how did the idea of family formation get going there at Odelia, and why do you use a family-centered approach? Brenda?
Well, Patrick, we asked ourselves the big question. How can faith formation programs really lay the groundwork for our children to experience a lasting faith?
Right.
And our family faith model was developed around the belief that parents have the biggest influence on the religious lives of their children. We also know, the research tells us, you know, that almost every active adult Catholic today is active because his or her parents had faith. So we realized how important it was to form a real partnership between parish and parents.
That's it's absolutely true that as you see faithful parents, you oftentimes see faithful children. And that was your case. You grew up a son of missionaries. Isn't that right, Father?
Yes. Yeah. My parents, my dad's a doctor, my mom's a nurse, and we traveled down to Honduras growing up since I was 11, doing mission work down there over vacations and throughout the summers. So it was a palpable and tangible experience of Jesus and the poor and the gospel alive in service.
Right. Which had a profound effect, I'm sure, on your own faith as well as on your vocation. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would say, John Paul II in the Catechism spoke about the parents being the primary teachers of children. And so not just giving facts, but giving experiences and opportunities to encounter Jesus, I think is essential to make Jesus incarnate, not just an idea or theory, but an actual person, someone we talk to and listen to and can see with the eyes of our heart.
Yeah, and that's probably a good reproof for me in my whole intro that I just did. That, yeah, it really comes down to what difference does it make? And parents are so effective at doing that for their children. Like you said, not just facts, but actually leading them into relationship with the Lord.
Right. Yeah. And I think growing up, I know we were a big sports family, football, hockey, lacrosse. And so it wasn't, you're just trying to balance your schedule. And a lot of people talk about, you know, finding a balance in life, but I remember taking a class by Dr. Don Briel, and he said, it's not about balance, but it's about integration. Mm-hmm. And so my parents, I felt, did a great job of integrating Jesus in all that we did, even in sports, just thanking God when we scored a goal or got a touchdown or something like that, making it him a part of the game and not just someone we talk to 1 hour a week on Sundays,
right,
if we even do that.
Right, right. Yeah, so that seems to be, Brenda, based on what you were saying, that seems to be what you're all about there at St. Odilia in terms of this family formation model. Tell us more about specifically, now there's different ways of going about family formation, but you have chosen the Alive in Christ model. Tell us about what that actually entails.
Well, kind of from a nuts and bolts angle, our parents and children gather at the church once a month, but parents work with their children the rest of the month at home. We use the Alive in Christ resources published by our Sunday Visitor for both the parish sessions and also for the home sessions with the parents. And these include books, and we send lots of digital resources for the parents. And our catechists use great, very comprehensive manuals to instruct the children when the children are at the church for their gathered sessions. And I think the parents really like the structure of having a book in their hands with their children, and I think they enjoy the flexibility that working with their children, they enjoy having that flexibility to work at a time that's convenient for their family. They do enjoy coming to the parish once a month for the gathered sessions, but the home sessions, you know, are really at any time that works with their families. Like I said, we have wonderful catechists that teach the children in small groups during our monthly sessions. But parents and parish are really partners in the faith formation program at St. Odilia. And as I said before, the parish gathers at a large as a large community on Sunday, but the family or the domestic church, as we like to say, is really very much the school of discipleship.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this particular approach to faith formation there at St. Odilia?
Well, I think that St. Odilia was really one of the pioneers in the family faith model. Before I even arrived at St. Odilia 6 years ago, they had been doing family faith for, I think, since 2007 or 8, so over 10 years.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And what kind of fruit have you seen, Brenda?
Well, we see parents that are very engaged with the formation of their children. Mm. And the parents seem to like coming to the gathered sessions. One of the things that we do when the parents come is there are presentations for them as well as their children. So we're catechizing the children and the parents. And of course, the result is if the parents' faith is enriched, they can pass that on to their children. They're going to be excited about their faith. They're going to pass that on to their children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fundamental building block of society is the family. And so as you really plant the faith deeply in the family, you expect to see that grow throughout the family, throughout the society. Mm-hmm. Father, just wondering from the eyes of a priest who is interacting with this community, who's parochial vicar there and that sort of thing, what does it do to you to see families coming together for formation?
Well, it's a great inspiration. It definitely takes the burden off of only the priest, just that model of come to church, have it be transactional, get the information from the priest, and it's up to the priests and catechists to plant the seed of faith in my children. I don't have to do anything. But what we do around the altar of God has to be consistent with what we do around the dinner table, which is the altar of the domestic church. So if there's grenades flying in our speech or in our, you know, looks at the dinner table, that's going to be contrary to what the gospel is preaching on Sundays. And so it's got to permeate both the church as well as the home, and which includes teaching, right? The kids can't love what they don't know. That's just a common proverb. And so in order to love Jesus, we got to learn about him, but then we also need to have experiences with him, which means seeing a witness of a life. Like you talked about earlier in the show, it's not just facts, but it's encountering Jesus, and in particular, encountering his unconditional love through the love of their parents. So I was, just blessed. We grew up doing Bible study, but we weren't, as my parents' faith matured, so did our family's faith mature. Because I remember doing First Communion prep, and we had our practice, and I showed up in my hockey breezers because we had a game or a tournament right after. And I mean, half the team was there in our breezers and stuff, but it just kind of showed the priority or lack thereof that we just try to fit it in and make it happen. And then our eighth grade confirmation retreat, I think I went to like half a day of the 2 or 3 day thing because we had a hockey tournament up north. But my parents always made it a priority to go to Mass on Sunday. And my dad on that hockey tournament, remember talking about confirmation, the Holy Spirit, and him kind of picking up the slack for that. But I think what's great about our current day and age is our resources to use the smartphones to get into the home, to give the parents tools to actually teach, because not all of them are teachers, and so they can be intimidated by teaching something they personally don't really have that deep connection to. Mm-hmm. And so form.org, and we send out, I think, bi-monthly email blasts, to give these parents tools to use around the dinner table so that they're not left hanging.
Right. What are kind of features, Brenda, are involved in the whole family formation model that that really help to instill a love of the faith amongst the family? I mean, what's all involved? How do families, maybe a better question might be, how do families find out about this? How do they get involved? Do they just show up, or how do people get involved with it?
No, they don't just show up. We have a very structured program. They register their children. All of the children are put in small groups, age-appropriate groups. When they come to the gathered sessions, after the presentation for the parents, parents are involved in small groups as well. And we begin with prayer, and the children and parents are involved in that prayer service. The children serve as readers. It's all very organized. So, but we welcome people throughout the year. We
sure.
always welcome people. In fact, we have, even at this point, we have 2 or 3 people joining every week or two.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah, so you're getting new people all the time.
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
Wonderful. And is this for any age kid?
We use the family faith model primarily in our elementary age children, our elementary age children. Once the children are in junior high, we still connect the parents. The confirmation program at St. Odilia, for example, begins with a parent-child retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So they gather. That's the first thing that we do. Mm-hmm. We bring them together at the church right at the very beginning of our confirmation program. In middle school, parents are not as involved at church. As children progress into the adolescent years, their peer group becomes such an important factor to them. We still include parents. Parents are still invited to the adult presentations that we have while the middle school students are with those children that are the same age as they are.
Wow.
So,
wow. I love it how it just has that vision in mind of just permeating the family. At every level, that is very touching, and I think we do run the risk of oftentimes that the church stuff just takes place at church, and it doesn't really have an impact on the home, like you were saying earlier, Father. Just wondering about as this continues to blossom and grow at St. Odilia, what are your hopes for where it might go from this point on?
Yeah, God willing, the faith can grow in the hearts of the parents, which then overflows into the children, and gives them the desire to pray. I think the foundation of our faith is speaking with Jesus Christ, Him as a person, because we see just in the stats that a lot of kids don't leave later on. They leave by about age 13. So that's mm-hmm. even before high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so the virtue, the prayer life, the experience of Jesus Christ happens in childhood.
Yeah.
And so it's an extremely important to form the hearts and minds of these kids to practice something that'll be permanent, that'll have a solid foundation to build the kingdom of God. And so my hope is that these kids deeply know how loved they are, one, by their parents, and then two, that Jesus is alive. He's not just some dead word or some concept or moral theory that we're following, but He's a person, and we're never alone in this world, especially as the society gets more and more chaotic.
Yeah.
He brings that stability and order interiorly to our lives.
Yeah, wonderful. Brenda, I'm just thinking that maybe there might be a few listeners here who might be interested in learning more. Where might they find out a little bit more about your formation, your family formation program, and Alive in Christ?
Well, I talk to people all the time, Patrick. In fact, I just talked to someone from McAllen, Texas yesterday about family formation. They were interested in learning more about how we do things. But certainly people can contact me at St. Odelia.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great website at St. Odelia that will give them a good idea how our program works, and there's a lot of information there. But again, certainly they can call me as well.
Right. Wonderful. Well, it's been just a treasure talking with both of you, and I'm hoping that indeed the work that you're doing, please God, would be able to, again, permeate the family so that the family can grow up as a family of faith, and that will change. It'll change the church. It'll change the society. It'll change the world. So God bless you for the work that you do. Brenda McLennan, Father Michael Daly, thank you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. We're going to transition now as we go from Alive in Christ in our Great Catholic Parishes segment at the Church of St. Odelia in Shoreview to a man who comes to us from the parish of St. Wenceslas down in New Prague, and like to get in the habit, I hope, of at least semi-regularly doing something like this, where we have somebody on to share their own story into walking into a relationship with Jesus, walking into a relationship with his church. And joining us now from that St. Wenceslas in New Prague, and he is also an attorney with the law firm of Kaplan, Stranges & Kaplan in Minneapolis, and has been practicing with the same group of partners and friends since 1978. His wife, Susan, and he have been married for over 48 years. They have 4 adult children and 3 grandchildren. Joining me now in studio is David Caron. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. Very nice to be here.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thank you for being the first one out of the gates here in this, as I said, something that I hope becomes a regular feature here on the Rediscover Hour, to talk about the whole process of conversion, of drawing near to the Lord, drawing near to his church. And I tell you what, you were giving me some points on this yesterday. I'm just going to let you kind of start your story. Take us back as far as you want to. Start your story and tell us, how you grew up. Let's start with that.
Well, I was raised in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. My family and I were members of the Serbian Eastern Orthodox Church.
Mm.
We lived about an hour from the church, but we attended pretty regularly, almost every Sunday. I served as an altar boy. I also assisted the parish priest in the blessing of the homes, which was kind of a big deal, going around a very, very large parish geographically to do that. So I was involved. But there was also a strong undercurrent that I was picking up. I was only about 13 or 14 at the time, of an anti-Catholic segment. There's certainly an anti-Catholic viewpoint. It certainly was not the teaching of the Orthodox Church. I don't mean to say that it is. It relates to the history of then Yugoslavia. There had been animosity, wars, fighting between the Serbian Orthodox and the Croatian Catholics for centuries and centuries. In the process, the lay persons of the church, whether they be Sunday school teachers or other instructors, you would have a strong denunciation of a variety of Catholic practices, traditions, beliefs of the church. I was only 13 or 14 at the time, excuse me, but it certainly did not make sense to me that I was attending church to participate in reverencing God, and I was getting that type of message, so unloving, so unkind.
Mm-hmm.
And I was too young to differentiate between this is not the teaching of the church. It was what I was hearing, and that was enough to move me away not only from religion, but I at 14 became an agnostic. It seems very strange to me now.
Well, but I think that's an important point, that you see this kind of division, this language of hatred and animosity. And that actually has a very negative effect on our view of the Lord, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It is, especially for young people,
you're
I
right.
think, trying to make the distinction between what your church is teaching, your practices of the church, or at least of its parishioners,
mm-hmm.
and God is a little bit difficult. So
mm-hmm.
you do end up with a view, an image of God, which is damaged as part of that.
And that from the laity, that you see other lay people doing that. So
yeah, the laity, as it is, I believe, today in our church, is tremendously important in forming people's images and views of God, of faith itself, of Jesus. And when we fail to do that, I think we have an impact, an adverse impact on others. And it's very easy to forget that we are the part of the body of Christ, and we are looked upon as part of the body of Christ.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I jumped
no,
in.
No,
no. You just had become an agnostic. Let's jump back in there.
And again, it's very strange to me now, given where I'm at today, that I chose to sit on the sidelines, so to speak, on the most important issue in anyone's life. But I did. But I continued to read philosophy, theology, even scripture. At the time, I said I was doing it because any educated person should have some knowledge of these matters. I see now that I think I was still searching. I was still examining the question of, is there a God? I was still far from Jesus, but is there a God? And I was doing it in a very logical manner and not being very successful in the process.
Right.
When I was about 30, shortly after my first child was born, my daughter, Sarah, we were in Columbus at the time. I was teaching at Ohio State, and we were outside, and I was holding her, and we were near a small tree. I wasn't thinking particularly about God or faith or anything. I was simply trying to make her laugh by shaking one of the limbs of the tree. I had one moment. I was an agnostic. I neither believed nor disbelieved in God. And the next moment, I believed with all my heart that there was a God. Wow. I can't explain it to you. It's a feeling. It's an experience I've only had once or twice other than that. But there was no doubt. It was with absolute certainty and a feeling of such satisfaction and fullness that I can't really describe. So I had to do something.
Yeah, right.
It was not the kind of thing that you simply ignored. It was still a very long process from there, believing in a God, to arriving at how I was going to interact with this God, how I was going to honor this God or behave with respect to this God.
Right. Take us into that a little bit, if you can. Give us, a little
sure.
bit.
So I attended different churches, and a variety of Christian churches. I felt closest and most comfortable. And again, for me, I'm a very logical sort of person. People who know me would certainly affirm that. But this was all about feeling, and it was about relationship. And I felt most comfortable, most with God, for lack of a better term, in the Catholic Church. My wife was Catholic, but that wasn't the decisive factor. She was not pushing me to become Catholic. We attended other churches, and I felt most comfortable in the Catholic Church. About, and this is probably 10 years after my experience in Columbus, we moved to New Prague. And St. Wenceslaus at that time had just started an RCIA program, a Rite of Christian Initiation for adults. And I said I was interested. And that the parish, the people of the parish, my own relationship, they were very influential to me. And all of a sudden, I wasn't just believing in a God. I was believing in Jesus Christ. And as time has passed, that relationship has deepened. And I've tried to nurture that with a variety of activities and other things.
Sure. And I think that that's an important distinction that you just made, because I think a lot of times in our pervasive amongst our society, and if I'm honest, even in my own heart, from time to time, I can get lulled into that sense of, I acknowledge that God exists, but without the specificity of it being in the person of Jesus Christ, who is reaching out to a personal relationship with me. In fact, Scripture itself says that even the demons believe in God and shudder, right? So there is a necessity to move into that acknowledgement of who Jesus is and that he wants to interact with us personally.
Yeah, I believe it's been essential to me. There is so much that we will, you know, God has chosen to reveal himself in a variety of ways, but there is so much that is not revealed to us. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I'm certain of is God is love. Mm-hmm. And that certainty comes from Jesus Christ. That is where I receive it from. And I think that's reinforced again and again for us in Scripture, in our liturgy, in Mass, in dealing with others. And so I believe that's just been a terribly important part of my faith life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you completed the RCIA program. Were you welcomed into the church and received your sacraments of initiation that Easter?
I did. And that Easter service will always be one of the very special moments in my life.
What year was that again?
That would have been 1991.
Okay.
And I still remember it. My wife and I now have been actually part of the RCIA team since about 1992 or 93.
Yeah, I know how that works. Yes.
Yes, we were. It's been wonderful. I would say we were drafted, and we were, but it's been a wonderful experience. But those Easter Masses are always very special to me, not only in and of themselves, and for those people who are experiencing confirmation and perhaps baptism at that time, but also for recalling my Mass when I was confirmed.
Mm-hmm. I just want to take the opportunity, since you just gave such a beautiful description of what's going on in that Easter Mass, what it meant to you, just to encourage all of our listeners, if you've never been to an Easter Vigil Mass at which there's going to be adult baptisms and or confirmations and first communions going on, then make a plan for this Easter in 2019 to go to an Easter Vigil Mass and experience firsthand the sacramental culmination of this person's journey of faith to this point in their lives. I think it is such a beautiful thing.
We always make the point to the participants in the RCIA that their journey is their journey, but it's also that of the parish.
Yes.
The parish is very much involved with that in terms of praying for those people, welcoming them, encouraging them. And sometimes people don't necessarily want to hear this, but mm-hmm. I tell them, you are a model. You are someone that really enlightens the parish, that really encourages the parish in their faith journey, and it's just very important. I'd also expand that a little bit, Patrick, and I don't know how many people attend the Triduum, but we also encourage our RCIA participants, especially during that Easter, but every Easter, to attend all three services.
Without a doubt. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Holy Saturday Easter Vigil. Only got about a minute left with you, David, but can you give us a brief overview in how you have continued to grow closer to the Lord since that Easter in 1991?
Well, a number of ways. Recently, as you are aware, Patrick, we have become very involved in forming intentional disciples, in helping to bring others along in their journey to become disciples of Christ. That's been very important to my wife and I, to the parish at St. Wenceslaus, and very excited about it. I see good things happening. We've been doing this now for 3 years or so, and I see some really exciting things occurring in the parish. So we've committed a lot of time and effort to that. As I mentioned, we continue with the RCIA. I do a number of adult faith formation matters, adult discussion groups, Saturday scriptures that I participate in. And so those are activities I'm very excited by, and I enjoy very much studying Scripture, talking, sharing Scripture with others. I've often said that in Scripture, sessions when we were talking about a passage of scripture. I might have read that scripture, talked about it 6-7 different times. Invariably, there will be a new insight, a new thought that another person will bring to the table. And I always make the point that only that person could bring that viewpoint, could bring that insight to the table, no one else. And so when people come and say, well, I've not really read scripture, I don't know much about scripture, I say, yeah, you really do, because you have your life to interact with the story of the gospel, and it really is only you that can do that.
Great testimony, David, and I wish we had more time, but I'm thankful that you're on the air here to talk about your own conversion story. And may God continue to lead and guide. May His will be done. Thanks for joining us on the Rediscover Hour, David.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. With that, we're going to head into our next break. When we come back, Father John Eckert is with us to talk a little bit about, share some stories, actually, about Pearl Harbor Day. Stay with us. Rediscover.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chaplet with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio, and there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Well, it's a new day. Oh, it's a new time. There's a new way. I'm gonna live my life. Oh, the old has passed away.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. I just thought, since we're recording the show and it's to be aired first on December 7th and it being Pearl Harbor Day and all, we should talk a little bit about the World War II, about Pearl Harbor Day. And so we brought in Father John Eckert, who is a pastor of Holy Trinity Parish, serving Holy Trinity and St. Augustine in South St. Paul. He's also a professor. He has been a professor of Sacred Scripture. He runs some sessions for us in the Office of Evangelization. And I could go on and on and on, but he's also served as a Catholic chaplain in the United States Air Force and the Air National Guard for, well, it's still going on, isn't it, Father?
It is. It's been about 30 years.
So, yeah, 25, 30 years. Yeah, now, okay, great. And you, I know, just have some stories to share with us in regard to it being Pearl Harbor Day.
You know, I do, and we would be flying and are flying our flags at half-staff today as a memorial to Pearl Harbor Day, in which we lost a number of Americans. But it's coincidental that we would also be and are flying our flags at half-staff because of the death of President of the United States, mm-hmm. who served and had an important role following the attack on Pearl Harbor. And he served as a young pilot in the Pacific Theater. He enlisted on his 18th birthday, and by age 20, he was a pilot in the Pacific, one of the youngest pilots, and he was shot down in his plane. He and other 9 other pilots, he was the only one to survive that experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they kept classified for a number of years what happened to the other 8. They were lost and presumed dead, but actually more recently, his story has revealed that they met a very terrible fate. They were captured, tortured, and killed. But President Bush, then a young 20-year-old pilot, he floated in the ocean, and one of our submarines surfaced right beside him, picked him up, and he went on to become president.
Wow. yeah, that's an excellent introduction to some of the valor that's shown in and around service, and, especially that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And some soldiers and airmen and sailors tell their stories, and for others, the stories are too hard. In fact, the younger President Bush, who spoke at a eulogy for his father, he mentioned the incident of having been shot down. And he said, you know, Dad rarely talked about the war until he went into politics. And he needed to speak about it. But some of those memories are hard, and some are not. I feel very connected to the World War II veterans because my father served in World War II and then Korea, and my uncle served in the Navy in World War II, and one of my uncles was actually at Pearl Harbor when it was attacked. He was injured, but he was one of those that never wanted to speak about the war. On the other hand, my father did, and I'm grateful to it. It's probably the principal reason I ended up going into the Air Force when I was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. But he was not at Pearl Harbor, but he had a small part in a big end to the war in the Pacific. He was an engine mechanic on B-29s, our largest bombers at the time. And he was stationed over in Tinian, and he was an aircraft mechanic on the plane, the Enola Gay, that dropped the bomb that helped end the war. And so I grew up looking through his footlocker, reading his manual, seeing his uniform. I grew up with two desires. One was to be a priest, and one was to go into the Air Force, and I've done them both.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks be to God for that. Now, you were telling me a little bit before that time. By the way, my uncle also served in World War II. He was on his way to Okinawa when the bomb was dropped, so he didn't see any fighting, but he was on his way to that. And you were telling me before the show that, there were plans.
There were plans.
Yeah.
Many of our listeners may have either seen the movie Unbroken and or read the book about one of our POWs in Japan. And there was a standing order from the Japanese War Department to execute all of the Allied prisoners, including Americans, of course. And that date had been set for that as August 22nd. Because of the two bombs that were dropped, Japan surrendered on August 15th. And we saved thousands and thousands of Americans and many more allies who likely otherwise would have been executed.
Mm. Wow. So, Father, what's the relationship with some of these great stories of strength, of courage, of valor? What's the relationship there with our Catholic faith?
Well, let me tell one story, and this is a story told by a parishioner and friend who recently died, now in his 90s. All of our World War II vets would be in their 90s. If they're still alive. But he survived the Bataan Death March and then sometime as a prisoner to the Japanese. A man of great faith, and he shared his story with me and many others. You know, the Bataan Death March was upwards of 70 miles of being marched through the Philippines, and close to 20,000 allies and mostly Filipinos and maybe 500 or 600 Americans died in the course of that march. Their captors were horrific to them. They would be shot if they slowed, if they tried to get a drink of water. He tells a story that as they went through a village, some women and children tried to offer them water, and the women and children were shot dead on the site. Mm. So they never looked the villagers in the eyes again. But having gone through that horrific ordeal and then being imprisoned in Japan, he says, you know, the Blessed Mother saved my life through the rosary. And he went on to tell the story that he was badly weakened while a POW of the Japanese, in which case they would execute you for that. But one day he was quietly praying his rosary, and one of the Japanese guards happened to see the rosary and pulled out of his pocket a rosary himself. In other words, the Japanese captor had a rosary. And they exchanged looks, and it was this Japanese camp leader who later pulled him out and rescued him from being executed when he was weakened and put him into a different type of work that he could survive. And so he looks back, and he doesn't look back with bitterness on his captors having suffered all that he did. I think he went on to even own a Japanese car, mm-hmm. you know, later mm-hmm. in his life. But you see the strength of faith, and he would speak at length about how his faith is what sustained him, and how the Blessed Mother in particular saved him.
Wow. Well, Father Eckhart, we're out of time, I'm afraid, but I thank you for these stories. They're stories that can encourage us. I think they can, especially that last one you were just sharing, can remind us that our faith can and will serve us in the bleakest and the hardest of times as well. May I ask you before you go just to offer an on-air blessing for our listeners?
May Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father John Eckhart, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks, Patrick.
We're going to take one more break, but when we come back, we're going to hear from Jeff Cavins about an upcoming Men's Bible Boot Camp and then share with you our calendar of events. So stay with us.
Rediscover.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3% with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Your light shine down, come around and live in us.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio, and this is the usual time where we do our calendar of events, but joining us now on the phone, we have a special guest, Mr. Jeff Cavins. Are you there, Jeff?
I am. Good to talk to you, Patrick.
Thank you. Glad that you could call in and talk to us a little bit about this upcoming Men's Bible Boot Camp. What's this all about, Jeff?
Yeah, what we're doing is we're taking men on a Saturday, December 15th, through the entire Bible. We're going to talk about how important the Bible is to a Catholic man's life. Not only that, but we're going to show them how to read it. And then we're going to take a quick survey through the entire story of salvation history, kind of from a man's perspective, and give them some tips on how to read it and how to make it a real tool for the rest of their life, not only, you know, understanding the readings from Mass, but also in private devotions and Lectio Divina. And I think it's going to be exciting. We did one earlier this year, and it went really well, and we're looking forward to this next one. It's going to be in Delano. So
in Delano, excellent. Any prior knowledge of the Bible required for this, Jeff?
Absolutely none. No, we're going to take people from the beginning and assume that some have never read it, you know, and then we'll go from there. And the wonderful thing about the system that we're introducing with the Great Adventure approach to it is that you don't have to have any prior knowledge. We're just going to show you how to read it and how to get your mind and your heart around the entire story. So it's for beginners as well as for people who have been reading for quite some time.
Excellent. What age guys would you think that this is appropriate for?
Well, the last one we did, we had fathers bringing their sons from junior high all the way up. And there's really not a limit, but mostly, you know, junior high, high school, and fathers, we encourage you to bring your sons, and it's we're going to have a great breakfast, kind of a man's breakfast, and then and then we're going to start our day, and it's just great fellowship. So it's for the whole family, for the guys, and a good time for fathers and sons to bond too.
Yeah, so I have it as Saturday, December 15th, 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
That's right. St. Joseph's in Delano.
St. Joseph's in Delano. Wonderful. And there's a cost, is that right? $40, but that includes all sorts of things.
Yeah, that includes materials, and that includes breakfast, and everything. Just come with your Bible and perhaps a little notebook, and you'll be set. And a pen.
And a pen. Bible, notebook, and pen. Yeah, I remember back in my college campus days, whenever we were taking retreats, that's what was required. That was required. Bible, notebook, pen. Wonderful.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
And I think people can get more information on the Office of Evangelization Archdiocesan website as far as signing up.
They sure can, yes. They can register at thecatholicwatchman.com. I'm sure we have it on our events page at rediscover-faith.org. So all kinds of things. Hey, men, take advantage of this opportunity. In fact, it's free for sons who are under 18 years old. Sit down with Jeff Caven. So he's an internationally known Bible expert. So just spend some time with him. Learn your faith. Learn the Bible. And yeah, Jeff, I wish you all the best. I hope it goes really well. And a blessed Advent to you.
Thanks. You too, Patrick.
All right. So, Paul, we've got other things going on as well, not just for men.
Oodles and boodles. You're invited to an ecumenical concert of praise. It's called Seasons of Joy. This concert takes place Monday, December 10th, 7:30 p.m. at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, St. Paul. It's free and open to the public with refreshments to follow. For more information, call Bob Hindle, 651-271-6405.
Here it is. Men learn the basics of the Bible in one day at the Catholic Watchman Men's Bible Boot Camp with Jeff Cavins on Saturday, December 15th, 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. St. Maximian Kobe, St. Joseph's Campus Church in Delano. Discover the heroic men of the Bible. Find out how to make Scripture a part of your daily life and learn how to lead your family in reading the Bible along with you. Registration is $40, includes workbook, donuts, and a hearty lunch. It's free for sons age 18 and under. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org or contact Enzo Randazzo, RandazzoV, at archspm.org.
The Office of Vocations invites men who are seniors in high school to age 50 who are discerning whether God may be calling them to the priesthood to the Archbishop's Discernment Retreat, Friday, December 28th to Sunday, December 30th at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo, Minnesota. In addition to the talks given by the Archbishop, there will be times of prayer, opportunity for reconciliation, recreation, and plenty of good food. Do you know someone discerning whether God may be calling them to the priesthood? Spread the word. Register with the Office of Vocations at 10,000vocations.org or call 651-962-6890.
A winter retreat for young adults will be held January 4th through 6th, 2019. Registration is open. Into the Deep hosts this time away to get people outside, talk about faith, and to foster connections amongst the young adults in the Twin Cities and beyond. The three-day weekend on the North Shore of Lake Superior is open to those between the ages of 18 and 39. I aged out of that one, Paul.
Yeah. Sorry. You're old.
I am.
Join the club.
Yeah. Thank you. Invite a friend, but also find new camaraderie in skiing and snowboarding at Lutzen Mountains, cross-country skiing, and snowshoeing in Cascade State Park and lounging around Cascade Lodge. That's what I'd be doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In the evenings, there'll be talks on the theology of the body, Mass, and Eucharistic adoration. For more details and to register, go to Into the Deep's website. That's ID, as in Into the Deep, Retreats. plural.org, idretreats.org/2019idretreats. Register soon, as the deadline is Saturday, December 8th.
Are you tired of divisive, angry politics? As Minnesota Catholics, we can begin to transform politics in our state. You're invited to join your fellow parishioners and thousands more Catholics from across the state for a day of prayer and advocacy in St. Paul that will inspire you and teach you how to put your faith into action. Tuesday, February 19th, we're coming together for Life and Dignity for Catholics at the Capitol. Visit CatholicsAtTheCapitol.org for details and to register. Space is limited. Don't delay. Transportation options are available.
Excellent. Wonderful. Coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe again with Father Michael Daly. And 'tis the season for giving to those in need. We'll learn about the Catholic Worker Movement from Father Michael Eisen and Karen Loom. And local saint, some have called her the local Mother Teresa, Mary Jo Copeland, will talk with us about sharing and caring hands. That's all coming up on the next Rediscover Hour. Thanks for joining us, folks. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.